While there are a number of different directions that we could go today, in the Word, last week we talked about walking confidently, consistently, and courageously in kingdom authority. And I felt like I would continue with that thought just to give a few more points and really make that point clear for us. But it was this morning as I was getting ready, and I tried to discipline myself to just stay in a posture to keep hearing. Because you can plan and think you want to go one way in a teaching or a series or a message, but how many know the best place is right with the Holy Ghost, right with the Holy Spirit, so that what you're sharing is relevant, is timely. And I have to believe that in the midst of everything that's said, all of our lives will be touched in some way. What is spoken will be relevant for you as it is for me and for all of us. And so I found myself this morning, I just heard the thought, choose wisely. Choose wisely. And then I heard this thought, the power of choice is a gift. The power of choice is a gift. So choose wisely. The power of choice is a gift. So choose wisely. And so this morning, I want to talk to us from that thought. The power of choice is a gift. Choose wisely. Amen. Choose wisely. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, it says this, Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be as wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. God is speaking in a way that gives us a choice. He says, you can choose this or you can choose this. You can choose to go this way, or you can choose to go this way. When God created man, when God created Adam, he created him with a will. He created him. It would not have been, if you will, right. It would not have been just for God to say, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness, and then create him and say, now do what we tell you. He would have taken away the very thing that made man unique. And that man was created with a will. Some call it a free will. And in that will, you get to make choices. You have the gift of choice. That's why you must learn to choose wisely. And Adam, as we well know, made a bad choice. And that choice, you know, I love the fact that you are sitting right here because I can see your faces. I mean, it's a wonderful revelation right now. Some of you are smiling. Not everybody's smiling, but some of you are smiling. This is wonderful. It feels good. And see what's wonderful? Never mind, I was going to say. Even folks, when they come in, they just recognize, okay, we're all together now. We're all together now. Adam made a bad choice. Little did he know that his choice would affect all of mankind. And so God said, you can't stay in the garden because I can fix this, but if you eat of that tree of life, so his choice caused God to make a choice. For me to save you, I have to separate you from me. Isn't that something? But what I love about it, she said, for a season, I must separate you from me, but I'm going to come and I'm going to make it right so that we can be together again forever. On last week, I talked about, or I think it was last week, I talked about grace. We talked about grace, and I talked about how that we are pursued by love, captured by grace. How that God, through the person of Holy Spirit, has sought out every one of us. Pursued by love, captured by grace. But even in that moment, it still came back to making a choice, because you get to choose. We get to choose. And God is saying here in Isaiah, he's saying, look, if you can have a good life or you can have a bad life, the choice is yours. Choose wisely. I'm reminded of the Indiana Jones movie, The Search of the Holy Grail. Y'all know I've always got a movie analogy, you know, story. But y'all remember seeing that? How many of y'all saw that? Indiana Jones, was it The Search or something for the Holy Grail? Yeah, okay, I'm sorry, you didn't see it. Okay, you saw it. Oh, I'm sorry, you was like I thought you were like, I don't know what he's talking about. I forgot who I was talking about. Pastor Val, she's seen everything. So you know in the movie they're in this quest for the Holy Grail. The Holy Grail is supposed to be the cup, the goblet that Jesus drank out of at the Last Supper. And so he's on the quest with his dad. A lot of things happen. But he finally gets to where the goblet is, or there's a lot of goblets and there's a lot of really nice things to drink out of there. And when he gets there, the guy who really wants the goblet, the bad guy, we'll say the bad guy, he shows up. So when he shows up, there's a guy that's been guarding all these relics, these goblets, for like 100 years or something, this knight. And the guy says, which one is it? He says, you have to choose. And then he says this, he says, but you must choose wisely. So the guy put, you know, he's got Indiana Jones out of the way, and he's going over and he's looking at the goblets, and he's looking at this one, he's looking at this one, he looks at this one that's gold and with rubies on it. He's looking at all these different goblets. And he picks one, this big goblet, very ornate. This has to be the goblet of a king. And he goes over and dips it in the water, and he drinks the water. And in about 60 seconds, all his flesh falls off of him, and he dies. He didn't choose wisely. So then Indiana Jones starts looking around, and he's looking at the goblets, he's looking at the goblets, he's looking at the goblets. And then he finds this one little goblet sitting there that it looked dirty, and it looked, you know, it had no real shine to it or anything like that. And he said, this has to be the goblet of a carpenter. And he went and he took a sip of it. His flesh stayed on. He stayed alive, so he knew that was the right goblet, and he took it back out and poured it on his dad's wound, and his dad was healed. You see, here's the point with sharing that. The one guy was motivated by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. He was looking at what glittered, what was shiny. It caused him to make the wrong choice. But Indiana Jones, who had some knowledge of Scripture, clearly had a level of faith, and you see that in one scene where the message was you had to take a leap of faith, and he didn't know what that meant until he stepped out what seemed to be where nothing was there, only to realize there was something there. You just couldn't see it from where you were standing. That's how he got to the other side. Now, the other guy saw him do it. So that's how he knew that there was something there. But his choice for Indiana Jones was in his knowledge of God and his knowledge of how a carpenter, how one who the Scripture says As a matter of fact, thank you, Holy Ghost. Let's see, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I just like doing that, y'all. This is what okay, y'all do know a paper Bible means it's more authentic, right? Pastor Nina said, that's right. Yeah, one guy called it paper Bible saved. Hallelujah. This is what Indiana knew. Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender root and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor his appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hid their face. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. It goes on to say, surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced, wounded through for our transgressions. He was crushed, bruised for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being, our peace, fell upon him. And by his stripes, by his scourging, we are healed. See, he was living out of that revelation of who Jesus was versus the revelation that he was a king. It had everything to do with the choice. One was living his life out of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. The other lived his life out of pursuit, not only of the things of God, but of God, and understood that a Savior that came and gave his life would have never drunk out of that cup, but possibly this one. I'm talking to us about the gift of choice. The power of choice is a gift, and we must choose wisely. We have to be willing to recognize and acknowledge, you know, hear me, that everything about your life has to do with decisions you've made, choices you've made in the past. Everything about your life, where it is right now, has everything to do with decisions, choices you've made in the past, or decisions and choices you've allowed others to make for you. The power of choice is a gift, and we must choose wisely. When God is bringing out the children of Israel, and he's moving them now, not only through a natural terrain, but he's also moving them into a place of knowing who he is. And you have to understand that very often, God will use a geographical location to reveal himself to you in a greater way. That's why some people make the moves that they make when they make them, led by Holy Ghost, led by Holy Spirit, because out of it, God is doing something to grow them, to mature them. But it really is a choice. Abraham could have said, I'm not going anywhere. You need to find somebody else. You want me to leave everything I've got and go somewhere that you're not even telling me where I'm going? But he made the right choice. God moved him through a terrain that when it came time to offer of his son, he said, I'll tell you the location once you get there. God has a way of moving his people, moving us through various places, giving us opportunity to choose. Some of us need to pray for just grace to make the right choice. Come on, say, God, give me the grace to make the right choice. Now, you have to know this, God is sovereign, and we were singing that earlier today for those of you that were here when we entered into worship. Lord, we acknowledge you. You are sovereign. We acknowledge your sovereignty. Even when we don't like it, even when it doesn't feel well. But we acknowledge your sovereignty. I acknowledge your sovereignty. In that, God is able to work through any choice, any decision you make, even if it's not the right one or it's not a good one. Some decisions are made, some choices are made with the best of intentions, and they still land in a very difficult or challenging space sometimes. And sometimes the choice that you make is exactly what God has called you to make, and it's still going to be challenging for you. That's where what you want to have settled inside of you, no matter what it looks like, is God is for me. Come on, say, God is for me. Now, because we're sitting a little closer, you can look at somebody and see their eyes and say, God is for me. Come on, look. Yeah, there you go. Look at somebody. Here you go. Yeah, yeah. God is for me and God is for you. God is for me. But what we see in the scriptures is how God continually presents to them and helps them understand, you're walking with me, you're walking in relationship with me, the closeness of it and all that comes with it, the blessings that come with it, will be based on the choices you make. That's what it just said in Isaiah. There is Deuteronomy 28, which we don't have time to get to right now, but you can read that. Many believers know that. I encourage you, if you're watching, just to go to Deuteronomy 28. He says, these are all the blessings that you will receive if you walk in obedience. These are all the curses you will receive if you don't walk in obedience. The choice is yours. It's in Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. Moses is talking here. It says, see, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. What's he saying to him? He's saying, I'm setting choices before you now, and depending on what you choose will have everything to do with the life you live. It'll have everything to do with how you live out your life and what God can do and willing to do for you. When it says here, keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, it's simply just say keeping his word. Keeping his word. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Sometimes your thought life can be one place, but in your heart, if the word is in your heart, it can settle you. Some years ago, I wrote a song, You Will See Me Through This Too, and the opening line says, sometimes it's hard to see what lies before me. The future, once so bright, is so unclear. My mind says to worry, but my heart says wait on you. You will see me through this. Give me grace to do this. Lovingly, you'll guide me all the way. You will see me through this. Give me grace to do this. For with faith in you, I'll go. For in my heart, I know you will see me through this too, meaning also. Meaning you've already brought me through some things. You will see me through this too. My mind says to worry, but my heart says, oh, wait. But my heart says, wait on you. What Moses is simply saying, translated for us today, is the word. The word. The word. So notice it says this, but if your heart turns away and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, says, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You will not prolong your days. in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter in to possess it. Then he says this, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing and curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, you and your descendants, you and your descendants. Come on, say legacy. Generations. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Moses is helping them to understand that if you will choose to live according to God's word and you continue to choose to live according to God's word, you will live a blessed life and you will live a long life. For God is saying your days will be limited, where your days will be shortened. And I need you to understand, many of you could get up here and say this same point I'm getting ready to make. I have seen a lot of people leave here prematurely.
That's right.
I have seen a lot of folk leave here prematurely.
Yes.
And it had to do with their choices.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes.
It had to do with the choices. The power of choice is a gift. We must choose wisely. You must choose wisely. Brothers, we must choose wisely.
Yeah.
And the wonderful, wonderful thing that we have in salvation is the redeeming power of God.
Yeah.
For he is able to redeem. But that redemption in its full effect comes as you and I continue to yield ourselves to him. In a place of repentance, meaning to change, meaning to shift and let go of things in order that the blessings of God can come on your life and remain on your life. He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day that I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, choose life. I love that. He says, listen, I'm not going to let you try to figure it out. I'm going to tell you what you need to choose. You need to choose life. One of the most challenging things, having pastored now ministry 40-some years, but pastoring as a senior pastor 25 years, is you try to help people make the right choices without telling them what to do. Well, Pastor, what do you think? Whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do. No, I ain't the right person to talk to like that.
Right.
You can talk to Jesus like that. You can talk to the Holy Spirit, but I'm not the one to talk to like that. Now, I can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, I can give you wise counsel. But ultimately, the decision has to be yours. The decision has to be yours. Because all of our lives, when we stand before God, and we give an account for our lives, you won't be able to say, well, Bishop so-and-so told me.
Come on.
Pastor so-and-so told me.
Right.
Sister so-and-so told me. Prophet or prophetess so-and-so said. No, the question will be, what did I say? And were you listening when I said it? Don't you understand, or is it just you just don't care? The good that comes to our life comes out of wise choices, right choices. And some of it is just the goodness of God. It's just the goodness of God. I love that song right now, the goodness of God, C.C. Winans. Been listening to it quite regularly now. And I love the line where it says, your goodness is running after. running after me. Your goodness is running after me. I'm like, why don't you just slow down then? I don't want to outrun goodness, and I certainly don't want to outrun mercy. David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of God. I'm not trying to outrun mercy. I ain't trying to outrun goodness. I ain't trying to outrun grace. Your goodness is running after me. Then slow down. Let it catch you. It's a great line. It's a great song. I love the song, but that's just me in my mind. I just kind of think those things. Moses is recognizing these folk are stiff-necked. Out of all that God has done, they're still making dumb choices, still making stupid choices. So there are times that God, in his wisdom, in his sovereignty, he makes the choice. I know you might not like this statement I'm getting ready to make now, but this is what I truly believe. I believe God sometimes sovereignly just says, I need to bring you on home before you make any more mess or make a bigger mess. In my mercy, I'm bringing you home now. I know that's not easy to hear. But I'm talking about a God that we don't even really understand. We think we do. I've often said it, and I will continue to say it. We know what he's done, but we don't know what he can do. And that's why, for me, the chorus that we sang, it's in your hands. That's a go-to for me a whole lot in this season, because I'm saying, I don't understand this. I was praying. I was fasting. I wasn't eating Chick-fil-A. And it still didn't happen. Because God is sovereign. And what the scriptures help us to understand here, going back to Isaiah, where again, it's about the choice that you make. It's about the choice that you make. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, meaning you get to make the choice. But then by the time you get to Moses, Moses is saying, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. That you and your seed may live. Simply meaning choices we make today have generational ramifications and maybe even eternal ramifications. That's why I tell you, this is just a sobering moment for me. We can sing all day long. We can enjoy the presence all day long. But if we are not experiencing the healing power, the delivering power, the saving power, the redemptive power of God, then we're just splashing around in the water. I choose to say today we've got to go deeper. I choose to say we've got to be more desperate. We've got to be more desperate. I need to be more desperate. I choose to say that we as a community, we really do need each other. Because you have to make choices even about your relationships, who you relate to, how you relate to them, how you let them relate to you. Because the power of choice is a gift. And we must choose wisely. When things happen like in this particular instance, and now Kevin is gone, my first thought goes to, could I have been closer? Did I miss an opportunity? Because we come and we enjoy the presence. God's presence is here, and it's a wonderful thing. But if in his presence I still can't see, and I'm still not discerning, that's why I said, listen, I just need y'all to sit a little closer. Not over there. Not over there. I can't. The lighting is a little darker. I need us all right here. Because the truth is also, you can have one public persona and a whole nother thing going on behind the scenes. You can carry yourself well. You can be eloquent. You know the right things to say, when to say it. You know how to be in the right place at the right time. And then something happens here, and you're still trying to figure it out. It has to do with choices. Some years ago, many years ago, was in a meeting with leaders in when I was in Columbus at Rhema with now Apostle Bishop Lafayette Scales. And we were in a meeting with the ministers, and he was doing some sharing and teaching. He said, listen, I want you to watch my life. He said, I want you to watch my life. He said, and he was saying, I don't mean watch my life just for the blessings and the good in my life. I'm saying, I want you to hold me accountable. If something look off, come and talk to me. Come and tell me what you think you see. And my commitment to you is that I won't hide. See, living life in the open is a choice. Living life in vulnerability is a choice. Living a life in transparency is a choice. Living a life that causes you to be close to others is a choice. I'm talking about the power. The power of choosing. The power of choice. It's a gift. And we must choose wisely. What we have not done well in the church that I believe God has helped us with here at Ayers, and I believe he's going to help us even more, is that we must make this a safe place. We must make this a safe place for people to say, I'm struggling, I'm challenged, I'm hurting. I know you see me when I'm up and I'm doing this and I'm doing that, but I'm struggling. I barely made it here today, but before I got out my car, I got my face together, I got my walk together, so when I came in here that nobody would ever know what I'm really dealing with, how I'm really challenged right now, how I'm really just trying to hold it all together. I'm trying to hold it all together till I can get it all together so nobody will ever know that I really wasn't together. That's not the way to live. That's bondage. That's bondage. That's bondage. The power of choice is a gift. We must choose wisely. Moses knew that with what he was saying to them, because of how he led them, he knew that many of them were going to fall away. He knew that. Because you see, when I talk about the power of choice, is a gift, and choose wisely. It's not just choose wisely related to the unbeliever. It's choose wisely as the believer. That every day, as a believer, you and I are choosing wisely. And the ability to choose wisely is predicated on the knowledge of God's word in your life. Again, saying David wrote, said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Meaning that word will recalibrate me every time my mind goes somewhere else. When I want to say something, when I want to tell somebody off, I choose not to. When I want to react, rather than respond, Holy Ghost checks me. Don't respond to that email. Don't respond to that text. Just hold it. Just hold it. How many of you be honest enough to say, you know, you said some things when you reacted that you just could have held. You needed to hold. Come on, everybody should raise their hand in here. If you have a language and you talk, okay, you may have been 5 years old and said something and end up getting your butt whooped because you said something that you should have held. So everybody could raise their hand for something. Well, I don't know. I mean, I seem to do real well with holding my words. Well, but it's the word of God that can hold us in place so that certain things we just say, okay, no, I need to hold that. Not react, but I want to respond. You know, everything Jesus did, he never reacted. He never reacted. He always responded. And furthermore, his response was always that which the Father gave him. He said, all that I do only what the Father tells me to do. The power of choice is a gift. Choose wisely, choose wisely, choose wisely, choose wisely. I find myself every day now in a place of needing to make wise choices, more wise choices. I'd like to think I've been making some, but isn't that what we all think anyway? We all think that about ourselves. We all think that that's where we are. But every day we get up, we need to say, help me with my thoughts. Help me to make every decision, every choice that aligns itself with where you are and who you've called me to be. So Moses says, heaven and earth, I call heaven and earth to record this day before you, meaning they're listening to you. He's listening to you. God is listening to you. You will. So whichever way you choose, it's written down. So every choice that you and I make as a believer from the moment that we gave our life to Christ, every choice we make must align itself with the word of God, the thoughts of God. Every choice we make must align itself with righteousness, holiness, right living, love, compassion, grace, peace, the fruit of the Spirit. All of that should be operating as we choose wisely. Over and over again, it's presented, you get to make the choice. It's in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 15. It says this, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Moses was speaking to this. Joshua is speaking to this. And that is, the land in which you live, there are others who will not live ever like you live. And you have to make a choice to live for God and not fall into the way that they live. That is the society as we know it right now. Never before, I don't want to say this emphatically, so let me say this. This is my thought. Never before in the history of mankind has there ever been as many choices that you can make as right now. And things have gotten so out of control that we're now telling our children, letting our children decide, choose their sexuality, choose who they want to be, how they want to be referred to, how they want to be addressed. It has permeated the world. It's called sin. And so in the midst of all of these things going on now, we, the body of Christ, we as believers, we must still live in the place of the right choices founded in the Word of God. For there are people all around us who are constantly living their life out of their right to choose, and then at the same time not want you to have the right to choose. I'm talking about we as believers. But this is where we as the body of Christ, this is where you as a believer, you cannot back down. We cannot back down. You can't get silent. That's why I love to sing that song, I Won't Be Silent. I won't be silent. When the pandemic first hit, I delivered a message walking in deliberate faith, gracefully defiant. Simply meaning, I'm not being defiant just to be defiant, but you have to be able to take that which is being put on us, and you got to put it next to the Word of God and say, does it match? Is this the way it's supposed to be? And you got to be sure enough. Now I'm back to walking confidently, consistently, and courageously in kingdom authority. You have to be confident enough in your relationship that you can do like Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. That when they stood before Nebuchadnezzar and he said, now I know you guys, you didn't bow when everybody else did when the music started, but we're going to start the music. I just want to give you one more try. And they said, no, we don't even have to consider this. We're not doing it. Choose wisely. We're not doing it. Well, you know what that means? We're not doing it. And they found themselves in the fiery furnace. But you know the story. They said, King, I thought we threw in three guys. There's four in there. And the king goes over and looks and sees this one is an angel. Like the Son of God. And they're standing up and they're walking around. Unbound. You have to know this. Wise choices, right choices, will always cause you to walk in freedom. Will always cause you to walk in freedom. So Joshua goes on and he says to them, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. Choice. Decision. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, Joshua knew as a leader, he couldn't make them do anything. Why? Because you have a will, I have a will. All of God's children got a will. And at the end of the day, after all the counsel and all the recommendations and conversations, you make the choice. God working in the power of the Holy Spirit helps you to make the choice. On last evening, I was looking at, I was transferring some pictures and little video clips from one iPad to the other, and I came across the clip of my youngest brother giving his life to the Lord. And this is when we were on Princeton Road, and I just felt in my heart to really spend some time with my youngest brother more recently, his daughter, my niece, she was here in service. And what stirred is I watched his baptism. And it reminded me of how God can lead you to a place of making the right choice. Even in what seems to be an unspiritual way. See, the scriptures make it clear that sometimes the hardest people to reach are your family because they know you. Or they think they know you. Or they know the you you used to be. And sometimes they're not willing to let go of that you. And so, I just reached out to him. I said, hey Larry, why don't you come down, man? Let's hang out. Come down, man. Hey, listen, there's a jazz concert going on. I'd like to take you to this concert. Okay. Come down and hang out with me, man. Go to church. We'll have a nice meal. I'll take you back. So I pick him up. I bring him down. And we're at the Phrase. We're jazz concert. That's Saturday night. Sunday, we go to church. Now I grew up playing. My first instrument is bass guitar. I grew up playing in clubs on Saturday night, and then go to church on Sunday morning. But this is different. And I thank God that He has helped me not to be religious. So we're out there and we're enjoying the concert, and then we make our way. To church on Sunday. But when I picked him up to bring him, he was from Columbus. When I brought him down, we were riding. He was telling me about some money he found. It's a lot of money. He's telling me about the money he found and what he was doing with the money. I said, man, you kept that money? He said, yeah, man, you only live once. And through our time together, he said that about four or five times. You only live once. And so Sunday morning service came, and we had to worship. And right in the middle of ministering the word, I heard the Holy Spirit say, tell Larry, you only live once, and that's why you got to get it right. And right in that moment, I looked at him. I said, Larry, all week we've been together, man. You told me all the stuff you did, what you did with the money and who you blessed, and you didn't bless me, but that's okay. And I said, and you kept making this statement. Yeah, man, you only live once. I said, Larry, you only live once, and that's why you got to get it right. And right in that moment, he started crying. And at that time, Pastor Arnold, who was with us, he went out and laid hands on him, baptized in the Holy Spirit right there in that seat. And I said, you want to be baptized? Yeah, he came up. He came up, and I had the privilege of baptizing him. And when he came out of the water, he just wept. But that was his moment of choosing wisely. And God set that up. I want you to know that God has a way of setting up those opportunities for us, but we must choose wisely. You must choose wisely. Every day we wake up, our prayer needs to be, Holy Spirit, help me to choose wisely today. Help me to choose wisely with all the things I will face, all the people I will see, all the opportunities that will come my way. Help me to choose wisely. Lastly, John chapter 15. Jesus makes one thing real clear for his disciples. He says this, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you. It says, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. He says, you are my friends, and if you do what I commanded you, he says, if you do what I command you, no longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Our experience and our reality of salvation was already written. We simply responded to what God had already set in motion. When you said yes to receive Christ, it's because he had already said yes to save you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. So that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. You did not choose me, I chose you. You and I are here today because God, in his infinite wisdom and his amazing love, unrelenting love, saved us. And it behooves you and I to live out our lives wisely, making the right choice. Because you can be born again, go to heaven, but still not be making the right choices, the wise choices. And so my encouragement for all of us is that we say, Holy Spirit, help me to make wise choices.